Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Gentleman's Talk. Hope everyone's all right, and I hope everyone's had a good day, or got through the day at least. It's really important to acknowledge that it doesn't have to be a good day, it just has to be a day, you know? It's really important just to take each step as it comes along, you know? And I hope you enjoyed that kind of little motivational minute that I sent off this morning, just to give you a little bit of inspiration, bit of get the juices flowing, I suppose, for the week. I've got a really important topic to talk about actually today, and it's kind of a double-edged sword. I've got two ways to approach the topic, and that is, when is it okay to not be okay? You know, it's kind of like the way that I would kind of capture it and entitle it if I had to. One of the things I noticed, I certainly can reflect on now, really importantly, is recognizing when you're not okay. And one of the biggest things I think we suffer from as a man is you constantly have to perform, and it's not just men. There is obviously women out there that and they have to perform if they're a mother, you know. They have to be on point to do what they have to do. So we all have to do this to some degree. I think men, though, they tend to have this, because there's this big stigma behind, you know, emotions and, you know, showing yourself and your real self, if you like. It's one of those things where we harbour it, and we fester all of our thoughts and our emotions, and we just bury them down deep as men. I'm not sort of saying let's all go out and huddle in a corner and start having a good cry together and a sing song. I'm not saying that sort of thing. What I am saying is there's a time and a place to embrace those emotions. And I don't mean a time and a place like you have to do it in a certain time and you have to do it in a certain place. I mean, it's a time and a place for you to experience that. And one of the things I noticed through my whole time and, you know, continued time through the depression journey and the post-traumatic stress disorder and the anxiety that, you know, I suffer from, for me personally, it's about the one of the biggest things is I didn't know when I could feel that emotion, because I didn't want to, you know. So because I didn't embrace it, and because I didn't talk about it, I wasn't open about it, it's not very well known either, which is really makes it really difficult to talk about things when it's not well known. And you don't often hear about men talking. This hence the reason my whole podcast is geared around getting us all talking. And it's really important to acknowledge that, you know, when is the right time to you know, get hold of your emotions and let them free. And personally, I still can't answer that question because I haven't quite discovered that. Although I spoke about yesterday's podcast, how, you know, I was emotional, you know, and it was nice to feel happiness. It's not an emotion I've felt for a long time. In fact, I can't even remember. I think the last time I was, I can hand on heart say that I cried with happiness, would have been the births of my daughters. That they were three times, that I certainly cried my eyes out for them when they were born, you know. But that's just an emotion of bringing life into the world, isn't it? So, but that was, I can kind of relate to that feeling, do you know what I mean? So I can kind of acknowledge what that feels like, you know. So it was an unusual circumstance for me to get emotional yesterday, but it was a good emotion, you know. And so many times that, you know, we can't even embrace, you know, bad emotions. So you don't expect men to really embrace good emotion, do you? It's one of those ones where, you know, you sort of kind of, I mean, for instance, there's a recent thing with, I can't remember his name, but Paul Gascoigne's son. It was in the news today, and how he cried his eyes out because he won, you know, Dancing on Ice. Now, he's been ridiculed for that, because he's shown emotion, live on TV. And they even asked him the question, why did you cry? And First off, that doesn't sit right with me anyway. It kind of resonates a little bit because I'm like, first off, would you ask a woman that? Would you say to a woman, why did you cry? Because you would know that she's cried because of the emotion. And they turned around and said to him, you know, why did you cry? And I thought, well, you wouldn't ask a woman that question. So why are you asking him that question? And he come back with, and I don't know whether there's a link between the fact that his father cried, and obviously, you know, when he used to play football, I don't know whether they were trying to angle at that. I don't know. I think it's a bit cheap, if you were, to be honest, because, you know, emotion isn't hereditary. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, they asked him the question, and he come back and said, well, you know, it was overwhelming. There was a lot going on. You can imagine when you win something like that, you know, you get a trophy, you know. And as he rightly said, he said, well, I've worked 6 months, like, solid, tirelessly, to from not being able to ice skate to being able to ice skate to winning it. So there's a lot of commitment, you know, there's a lot of heart and there's a lot of soul in it. So for me, that's enough. You know, he's got emotional because he's had that release, and the fact that everything he's worked hard for is, you know, it's come to fruition, and there he is. He's a winner. So, but he got ridiculed for that. And here we are in the 21st century, 2022, to be specific. You know, and we talk about men's mental health and how it's really important and all this sort of stuff. And when someone does show their emotion on TV because he's, you know, he's a young lad, he's happy, he's worked hard for it, he gets ridiculed. And you know, that is a clear symbol that, you know, you can't show emotion still because you're kind of ridiculed by media for it. And if you look on forums and you see all the, what can I describe as the tough men, you know, the keyboard warriors sitting there giving it all the big licks, you know, and saying, oh, look at him, you know, man up and all this sort of stuff. And you're like, mate, have you ever worked for something that you've worked hard for tirelessly? Now, you know, I have. I've worked tirelessly. I've everything I put 110% into everything I do. And I am emotionally invested. If I do a job, I'm emotionally invested until it's perfect. I don't get upset at the end because I am, unfortunately, emotionless. you know, not technically, because you could say, well, I have done yesterday and, you know, I've cried in the past, but normally for sad tears. But it was really important to acknowledge that even in the 21st century, we're talking about mental health and removing the stigma of men showing emotion. And okay, there's some extremities where that's gone too far and, you know, men show too much emotion. Not saying it in a negative way, but if you saw, you know, some other gender, if you like, crying to that sort of level with some people, you go, okay, mate, you're taking it a bit too far, you know, sort of thing. But I get it. I get there's a fine line, but at the moment, there's not a fine line. At the moment, there's either, you know, you're completely emotionless, you know, dead to the world, crack on, earn your money and just provide for your family, don't have any emotion aside from that. That's kind of one extreme to the other extreme where, you know, you cry your eyes out at everything and the world's against you. So there's no real sort of kind of happy medium, and that's where I'm trying to really break that stigma and just go, it's okay to feel an emotion and embrace it, you know? I felt that emotion yesterday and I felt the need to talk about it because I wanted to just say it doesn't matter, you know, and I've certainly got upset in many occasions, you know? I don't have to be drunk to sit there and get upset, you know? So normally because I've been in a really severely horrible place and it's completely and utterly overwhelming. And that normally when emotion comes out, it's like full on stress. It's like yesterday, I know that there was an over emotion from me because I'd had a fantastic weekend. I was tired from the week. So that's normally when, you know, you get a big build up and it kind of gets to, you know, you either get to a negative place build up or a positive place build up. And mine was positive yesterday. So I embraced it because it was an unusual feeling for me. You know, but I wanted to enjoy that feeling and I wanted to just go, I'm really good at, you know, that's making this journey worth its while. And one of the things that I noticed, though, over the last 10 years, I found hard is nobody really recognised my emotions. Or I don't know whether it's my personality or not, but, you know, for me, when I see someone down or I hear someone down, I notice it. Now, I'm probably a little bit more in tune than most people because I've suffered, you know, I've been the lowest you can get, you know, barring teetering over that edge. So I know what it's like to feel utter remorse, utter depression, utter emotion. I know what it's like. But at the same time, you know, consciously sit there and go, I don't know what to do about this, you know. So I've been there, and again, the stigma is I didn't know who to talk to, you know. And I'm a lot more open now, and I do message my mates, and they sort of message me saying, you know, how's things. Oh, I'm having a bit of a shit day, mate. That's normally where it goes to now. Kind of say I'm having a bit of a shit day, and they'll pick it up for you, you know. We all have busy days and we all have shit days, you know. But I feel comfortable now saying, well, I've had a bit of a shit day, mate, actually, or God, this is a bit stressful. And you do what you should do then. You should pick your friends up, you know. And I never got that over the last 10 years. I'll be brutally honest. You know, I've been, like I said, I've right up until December last year, and that's no detriment to the people that are around me, because it's hard to people. There's most people around me had their own issues, or didn't really recognise the issues. So to understand and educate people, but for me personally, it was horrible. I hate the fact that you could be sat there contemplating life, and not know where to turn to. And that's kind of where this whole thing started, with the fact that I wanted to help myself and I wanted to help people and drum up some business, you know. So those things, this whole journey really started on me trying to get a better life, but it was done the wrong way. So, you know, and it's grown legs and arms and legs, and it's kind of come to where it is now, and I'm really enjoying this process. But, you know, for me, it was about last year. It was because I sat there and I thought, I don't want to be like this again. If I'm like this again in 6 months' time, or I'm like this again in a year's time, or even I'm like this again in 3 weeks' time, I don't want to be there and not have anyone around me to talk to stop me. Because it's a horrible feeling to be sat there and go, who do I talk to? Who's going to listen to me? No one cares about me. And, you know, for me personally, I find that's a difficult thing to sit, doesn't sit right with me. So that's why I made this change, brutally changed the people that were around me, because at the same time, I obviously wasn't on their radar. They weren't on my radar. I wasn't on their radar. So I've had to do that. And that's where this it all gels, and everything I talk about all comes into these little tiny acts that we do along this journey. They're to make it so that if you do get to a horrible place and you don't know who to talk to, you've built up a good enough network around you to not ever have that again, and not ever have it so the fact that you don't know who to talk to, you don't know who to speak to, you don't know how to approach people. You shouldn't ever feel like that. You know, being depressed as a man is a very secretive thing. I certainly hid it for years, and I did everything I could. I think I notice it more now because I'm in a better place, and I'm trying my hardest daily to keep that going. But the downside is, as well, what you remember is the bad stuff, because you're like, Christ, I was a bit of a dick then, or I did do that. And I remember one of my friends, actually, it's a prevalent story, it came up today in my head, because I was like, oh, you know, I've been a bit of a dick, you know, sort of thing in the past. And what did I do that made that happen? You know, so I was kind of thinking about things. And I remember one of my friends, very close friend of mine, and we were cycling bikes, and they caught like a bungee cord around the back of the wheel. It just come off one of the back seat things, and caught in the back wheel and threw them off the bike. Now, I was in a fucking shit place. You know, I mentally, I had no emotion at all. I didn't even... And this became prevalent today because I thought, well, I've got a bit of emotion back. You know, I'm feeling things that I never felt before. Like, I'm feeling happiness. I'm feeling a little bit of empathy. And all this is while I still take medication. So, you know, it just goes to show that I've been on medication for now 5 years. And it's only when you really invest in yourself that that medication will start working. And it does. It helps me because now what I'm doing is producing my own natural serotonin again. But anyway, I digress again. But I remember them flying off the bike. And it was in an evening. And I sat there and there was people around and I felt embarrassed. I was like, fuck it. And I remember just being an absolute arsehole. Just going, what are you doing? You're an absolute embarrassment. What a state. This person was hurting, my friend was hurting, and I didn't bother doing anything about it. So it just goes to show when you're a man and you're depressed and you bang up these barriers and you remove all this emotion and you're not allowed to show emotion, it's really, really hard to just coast and go through life without hurting people. And that's why I really want people to recognise and understand what happens when people are depressed and what they feel and what they're going through. So you can assist, you know, you can help. If you've got a friend of yours that is like that, sometimes little messages and little chats and stuff, you know, they mean the world to them, you know. But one of the things I noticed over my 10 years is I never had that. And that wasn't because, you know, nobody wanted to approach me. I was a very difficult person. You've got to understand that, you know, I said fight or flight and I was always in fight. So a lot of people didn't really want that confrontation with me. And I suppose when you look at somebody with, you know, like I was, which is like you look at me from an outside in and you go, well, you know, he's got a nice car. He's having fun when he can. Well, I wasn't. I was just forcing myself to do stuff because I really didn't want to be depressed. I didn't want to, but it came to the point where it just consumed me. It was almost like... that I said, I've described it. It's almost like a fog over your eyes. And it's almost like you can feel the, like this black goo just sort of taken over your brain. That's the way to describe it. It's almost like it slowly, it's almost like a tumor. Now, I know that's quite a thing to say, but it is. It's almost like it just engulfs your brain. And now I know I have that tumor because I have to live with it because that's the PTSD side of things. So, you have to manage this every day. It doesn't go away. I don't care what anyone says. And some people, I've got chronic permanent PTSD, so it can be crippling. But one of the things I noticed was, you know, it wasn't about people wanting to come and talk to me. It was about, like, from the outside in, I was going to work every day. I was getting up every morning. You know, I was overperforming 24/7 in work, because not 24/7 literally, but 24/7 for the hours I worked. I was overperforming all the time, and I cast back to, you know, it's sort of those times when it was really hard. I had to focus on that because the only thing I could do was focus on work. And from a work's perspective, I was a dream. Because I was like, well, James is doing everything he's going about. He wants to do that. Yeah, crack on, get it done. I was in the bay. You know, I was telling the guys exactly what to do because I was like, I wanted to keep my brain active all the time and keep everything firing. So people thought, from their perspective, it was really easy because I was creating an easy life for them. From my perspective, which isn't good for them to nurture that. It isn't good to create that for a future because you're doing the work for them, aren't you? But no, I got to the point where I had to do that. So from the outside in, you think, well, he goes back to his room. I don't hear Buddha a goose. You know, I was trying painting. I was trying airbrushing. I was trying all sorts, long walks. I tried absolutely everything to make myself happy, and I couldn't. And it was, I mean, I've spent thousands of pounds trying to do things that I think will make me happy. And they never did, not once. Money never, ever made me happy. And it's proven now. Money hasn't made me happy now. What's made me happy now is actually looking after myself and taking a really good view of what's around me, and instead of thinking I've got 200 friends because it says it on Facebook, or I've got 3,000 followers on Instagram, I must be amazing. Instead of looking at those things, actually going, I don't need any of them. I don't even, you know, care about any of them because they don't care about me. It's just a click. It's a like. That's what we chase. And I've worked fucking tirelessly for the last 3.5 months to get rid of that. Go. I don't care. I don't want to be liked. I don't even care. Like, I've kind of gone to the point where I put the stuff on Facebook now just as memories to remind me in 10 years time, 5 years time, you did this. So I just use it as a tool, really, just an app, just another app to me. It's not a social media thing. But it was really important to understand that, you know, from the outside in, you can look like there's nothing wrong. And one of the things that, you know, that I heard a lot, especially at the start, you know, 10 years ago, and I'm a bit ashamed to say that I still hear it now, if I'm honest, but it's that man up. It's that, oh, just man up. Oh, it'll be all right, mate. Just smile. It'll be okay. Do you know what I mean? And all these stupid little comments that people make. Yeah, sorry, mate. I never thought about that. I never thought if I get out of bed and smile, then my fucking day is going to be absolutely fantastic, mate, isn't it? Oh, man up. Oh, yeah, sorry, mate. I didn't realise that. Yeah, if I man up now, brilliant. That's what it is. What is this man up? Do you know what I mean? It's literally ludicrous, you know, and we say it. And I've said it. I've actually been one of those people that said it and gone man up. And, you know, I only ever said it in jest. I don't think I ever said it in an actual aggression or an actual, like, confrontational point of view. I wouldn't say, oh, fucking man up, mate. Jesus Christ, you know, because that's just, it's not me. I'm not a horrible person. I know I can be, but I'm not a horrible person. That's where I know that depression consumed me, because I reflect back on these little incidents and these little times that I've made other people's lives a misery. But I'm not justifying it by any stretch of the imagination, but I was miserable. I was unhappy. So what, you know, why should everyone around me? That's what it got to. Why should everyone around me be happy? Oh no, this is what I'm feeling right now. You have it. You know, and I think because we don't talk as men, we don't understand how to approach it or how to deal with it. And from what I'm learning over these last 3.5 months, talking and researching and following other people, that in actual fact, if you talk about it from the early stages, we don't get to this point. If you talk openly with a close group of friends that you can be open with, and I mean genuinely open with, you know, men don't have that ability, do they? We all jest. I mean, women will talk about anything, you know, they'll literally say, you know, whatever they want to do. I'm not going to put it in context because I don't know what they say, but I know that they talk about all sorts. You know, you listen to your missus or your girlfriend or your whatever, or even just ask them, they'll probably tell you. But women do talk about things a lot more openly than men, whereas men, they sort of talk about it, you know, in a sort of kind of, oh yeah, mate, oh, you know, I've, you know, shit, like, for I have a needle, mate, or, oh Christ, I have a massive crap the other day, and, you know, there was a bit of blood, must have been a big one, do you know what I mean? And you sit there and you go, yeah, or you could, because you're 40 plus now, you could potentially want to get your prostate checked. Do you know what I mean? But we don't talk about that because we just laugh. And then normally if someone said that to me, oh, I had a massive poo and it must have been a big one, that's why I'm bleeding. And you turn around and you go, God, Christ on me, that must have been like the baby's arm. Do you know what I mean? And that's what men do. We laugh it off. We don't go to the doctors. I mean, I remember when I had a lump on my testicle, and this was about I think about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 8 years ago, I think it was. And I didn't know what to do about it. So I sort of played and just had a little feel around and was like, that's not a very nice feeling. But it'd be all right. I squeezed it and it didn't hurt. So I was like, oh, it must be okay then, mate. Do you know what I mean? So I left it. And, you know, I left it for about 6 months. And then it was only having a conversation, actually, with, I had a passing conversation with a friend of mine. And they were like, yeah, I had similar. But it turned out to be breast cancer. That was a friend of mine. I was like, oh, Christ, okay. She was like, well, I would just get it checked out. And I was like, okay. So anyway, I went down and got the doctor. And he was straight away, he was like, Yeah, I'm not so sure, mate. You're still fairly young, so I'm a bit optimistic, but we never know. So I went for an ultrasound, and it turned out it was scar tissue from the vasectomy, so that I'd had like 2 years prior. So you know, but it was the moral of that story is I just did what a typical man does, and we just ignore it, and that is because men don't talk, and we don't know how to approach that situation, and we make sort of lightheartedness about these things. And one of the things that was massively obvious, and everybody said it, was you know, and I've even heard this as recently as, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they, when I talk about the depression, they were like, yeah, but nobody thought you would get it, nobody thought you had it, you're James, you know, you're just this crazy loon that, you know, works hard, plays hard, you know, sort of thing. You don't get depression. And I think that that is because there's some people that you look at and you go, okay, well, I can see he's depressed, you know, and he just looks really sad. Do you know what I mean? There's some people out there, and I think the majority of men, we put on this mask, don't we? And we just pretend that everything's okay. And then when people, I remember my friend, my best friend, actually, when we were working together, and I remember him countless times towards about 2 years ago, kept saying to me, I think you need to go home, mate. And he said, you look exhausted. You're, you know, I was putting on weight. I was exhausted. I wasn't interested in life. I was just kind of, I wasn't interested in work. And that's when I was at the peak, really, of my depression. Was about 2-3 years ago, I think. Yeah, about 2.5 years ago is where I peaked. That was me, you know. So as early as 2 years ago is when I just peaked. That was me when it hit. Solid, hard, like, this is depression now, mate, you know. But it had been happening for a couple of years prior to that, you know, 4 or 5 years actually, and I just ignored the signs, and it got to the point where I was still ignoring the signs. I was like, yeah, it's fucking fine, mate, you know. And even at this point, I've been diagnosed with it, but I was like, nah, it's fine, I'm just gonna fucking sort it out, I'm just gonna soldier on, mate, you know. And I remember my mate saying to me, you need to go home, mate, you don't look right. And I didn't. I never, not once in 9 years have I ever, in fact, I've had one day off sick in the last 7 years. The last time I had off sick was after one of the last accidents. And I think it was a little while afterwards and my back jarred and I'd had like 2 days off. But that kicked in occupational health anyway and gave me a couple of extra physio sessions. So that was pretty good. So it sort of kind of bounced me back a bit, and a little bit of extra free care, you know, from the employer is always beneficial, isn't it? But I'd ignored it. I'd ignored everything. You know, I ignored all the signs, and it got to the point where I was really hurting people around me. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't continue like this. I need to sort myself out. But I didn't know who to talk to. And that's where this comes in. And this is where I talk about the double-edged sword. And I say, well, one thing I've noticed that with talking about this and being open, and one of my mates messaged me this morning, as we always do in our little group, we message every single morning, and he was a bit late messaging. Like, normally we all message around about 7:15, and he didn't sound right. He tried to sound happy, but I think it sounded like a forced happy to me. But I didn't really say anything, and then it was about 2 hours later, and he went, it was about dinner time, actually, and it was playing on my mind. And he said to me, yeah, I'm having a bit of a shit day, mate. And I was like, oh, do you know what, mate? I heard in your voice this morning that you didn't sound right. And still, even though I'm doing this journey, I haven't quite grasped that. Even though I know it's there, and I've been through it, and I know he's going through it, and I didn't grasp that. I didn't grasp the fact that I should have instantly said, hope everything's all right, mate, this morning, when I felt that there wasn't something right, you know. And it's really important to do that. And it's, I think that people, men especially, need to be empowered with the fact that when you nurture a close network around you of people that genuinely care, and I'm not talking crowds of people, because you'll never get crowds of people that will care, I'm talking your closest of close, you know, your one or two friends, your whatever they've got, you know, your little group, you should be able to ask them anything and they should be able to address. If you're a good enough friend and you're close enough, you should be able to address that fact. And I think that as this becomes more and more prevalent and we talk about mental health more and especially with men, I'm hoping that as this grows, people then recognize that they can actually, is everything all right? Are you okay? And that's such a big word, isn't it? It's such a big sentence, sorry, are you okay? But it genuinely means the world, because you'll either get somebody who'll go, yeah, I'm fine. But at the same time, they'll say it in such a way that you know they're not fine. Or they'll say, no, I'm not okay, mate. Actually, I'm having a bit of a shit time. And if you've nurtured such a really close friendship, you should be able to do that. And I feel embarrassed that I've got one of my best friends, actually, that I didn't confide in for years. I never really spoke to him. I don't know why, because, like I say, we're best friends. We have been for 27 years. I think it was that bravado thing, really. I didn't want to ever admit it. I didn't want to admit that I was losing. I didn't really want to admit that I was depressed. I didn't want to admit that I was sad. I was like, fuck off, mate. I'm just, shut up. I'll be fine, mate. And you'd soldier on and you'd do your 9 till 5 or whatever it is you do. No one works 9 till 5 nowadays, do they? But you'll do your hours and then you'll go home, and it won't be till you go home, and you could go home to your family, and then you've got your kids or your missus or your partner or whatever they are, you know. You still got to perform, so you don't get time. And then when you go to bed and you know, you'll either go to bed alone or you'll go to bed with somebody, and you'll wait for them to go to sleep, and you're so exhausted that you go to sleep. And that's where the vicious cycle comes in, because you wake up exhausted, you've still not spoke about it, so it's still on the back of your mind. And then the next day might bring another load of shit that's going to chuck at you, and you're like, Christ, I can't keep taking this shit, mate. This is ridiculous. And one of the things I think that men need to be empowered with, and I hope that as you develop a close friendship with somebody, or if you've got a close friendship with somebody, you'll be able to acknowledge this and go, fucking hell, I didn't really think that it actually hasn't been right for a while. Do you know what I mean? And actually empower yourself to go, are you okay, mate? Because none of us do that. And it's really, really sad to say that, but none of us do. Men don't seem to do that. They don't seem to worry. And when you think about what men have got to do, they've got to perform at work. You know, we've got to have career aspirations. Christ, nobody wants to get with anybody unless they've got career aspirations. You know, they want somebody who can provide. Well, men are then empowered with this, you know, this entitlement they have to provide for the family, you know. And I know the dynamics of that is slightly changing nowadays, which is nice to finally hear that it's not all down to the man to feel it. But traditionally, and still most of the time, I will say that it is left for that pressure for the man to do it. The man has to go out, no matter what he's feeling in the morning, he has to get up, he has to put on his work clothes, and he has to smash it out the bag and get his job, his day job done. That could even mean that at the same time, I remember my last employment, I was dealing with mental health issues for my colleagues, you know, so I was dealing with those side of things. So I was taking on the pressures of all of my team, because that's what I was doing. I was listening. I was taking on all their pressures. I was trying to make their life better. They were like, oh, I'm not getting paid enough. Okay, well, let me sort some out. Let me see what I can do. Okay, we can promote you. Or, you know, I'm not doing this, or I need this, or I'm having relationship problems, or, you know, do you know what I mean? You listen to this all day. And one of the saddest things is that I listened to all those people and I helped all those people, and all of them I helped through at some point, whether it be financial relationships or emotional or DIY or car repairs. I helped everybody in that place. And I suppose the saddest thing for me was, out of all of that, nobody ever asked if I was okay. And I think that is where I got quite sad, because nobody sat down. Nobody said, oh, you're okay. Do you fancy a beer? Well, in the end, one person did. And it turns out he was the biggest backstabber of them all. So he was probably just trying to butt me up, because he wasn't the best of friends in the end. But anyway, we digress, don't we? But I think it's really important to acknowledge that fact of embracing when somebody isn't feeling right. And we all know it. You know that if you go home and your wife looks a bit sad or she sounds a bit sad, you'll ask. And if your kids are a bit sad, you'll ask. You know, you'll even notice when your dog's a bit sad, but you know, or your animal, you go, he looks a bit sad. So you notice it all the time, but nobody ever thinks to say, oh yeah, James, or, you know, and I'm just using my name figuratively speaking. James, are you all right? How's things, buddy? Do you know what I mean? Because that quick, are you okay, buddy, sent via text message or voicemail message or ring or bloody email or whatever, you know, whatever it is. We've got so many ways to communicate now. You know, just having a pop round and knock on the doors. I hope they've brought a couple of beers, mate. Hope everything's all right. Do you know what I mean? And it's those things that mean a lot. And I think that men have just been given a bit of the shitty end of the stick, so to speak. And they're just expected to, you know, we're expected to do everything, aren't we? Let's be honest. We're expected to know about cars. We're expected to know about the house. We're expected to know about finances, mortgage, interest rate. We're expected to know about DIY. And I'm not saying that there's women out there. Please, I'm not saying that women out there that can't are not capable. This isn't what this is about. Okay, this is about men. This is me talking as with my experiences. And from my experience, we are expected to perform. We are expected to deliver all the time. We are expected to try and be happy all the time for everybody. And you do a full day's work and you come home and, you know, I've got to do this, this and this. And you're expected to do it. And that, to me, is quite difficult, you know. And you never really get that release. You never really get that kind of... That's where the talking comes in, because you get to offload a little bit. And you know, we all do it, and I think women have got it right in the sense that they offload to each other, and a problem shared is a problem halved, isn't it? And I've noticed now, since I've been really promoting this self-healing by looking after what's around me and myself, I've noticed a change, a really, really significant change in everything around me. I don't know how long it'll last, cross. I'm not going to put a timeline on this. It's not a timeline thing. This is just take each day as it comes. One of the things, as there was a little quote from a story that I heard earlier on, and the elephant was walking through the woods, and the elephant, and obviously this is metaphorically speaking, the elephant said to his dad, I can't see the path through the forest. It's too foggy. And the dad turned around and said, well, can you see the step in front of you? And the baby elephant said, well, yes, I can. I can see the step in front of you. And he said, well, just take that. Just take the step that you can see. Because too many times we try to look at 20, 30 paces in front, or we try to look at 5 years ahead, because that's what we're geared to do, aren't we? We're geared to think about the future. And so many times that's what catches us out, because sometimes you won't achieve that. And sometimes you have to just, you know, stop. And you have to reset, and you have to go, okay, I'm going to get through today. That's all I care about. Do you know what? If I get through today, I'm really happy. Do you know what I mean? And then you go to the point where you're like, okay, I got through today. I'm really happy. And then you come to Tuesday and you go, okay, I'm going to get through Tuesday. And then you might get to midday and go, okay, stop. I feel really good. I'm going to reset. Let's get through the rest of today and tomorrow. I feel great. And then you'll get to Thursday and you'll be like, oh, fantastic. Here I am. This is Thursday. Friday's tomorrow. I feel great. Do you know what I mean? Or it might be the other way around. You might have a great start to the week and then everything just hits you like a train on a Wednesday, for instance. And Thursday, you've just got to look at that little, you know, unfogged step in front of you and just take it. Just take one step at a time. Too many times we try to look too far ahead, and I'm really, really bad for that. I try to plan ahead, and I like to plan, but there's an element of planning we have to do, because we have to plan for certain things if we want to go to an event, or we've all got, you know, most of the people that I've nurtured around me have got wives and kids, so we have to nurture the family life as well as our own life. But that all aside, you know, it's really important to acknowledge when you know someone's not right. And if you're a true friend, you'll know when that person isn't right. And sometimes you don't even have to say something. You can just acknowledge it and go, something don't feel right with him. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to spend the rest of my day making him happy. And I'm going to send him shit memes, and I'm going to send him this, and I'm going to have a bit of a laugh and send some voicemail messages and have a little bit of banter, because that'll perk him up, you know, and that's really, really important to do. And I think we take that for granted, that you forget that you're there, and you forget that, you know, men just go through this, we get into this path, don't we, where we just go Monday to Friday, rah, rah, rah. And even weekends, we can be exhausted. And you try and do something, and it takes you out of the comfort zone. But what I've figured out here is right down to the fact that, like, even today, for instance, you know, feeling happy about myself, and, you know, I just took my nice, easy day. I was building my own SharePoint and stuff like that. So I was just having a little bit of fun with a bit of technology. And I thought, well, I'm going to incorporate, because I do this thing now. I've got my routine. I absolutely love routine. I think it's really good to have a base layer of routine, knowing you're going to do these things. And I did. I did my normal cold shower, you know, walk with the dog, come in, fruit shake. You know, I had my dinner with walk with the dog, and then this afternoon I did a couple of little different things. I went for a 3-mile walk at the end of the day, because I was like, I'm going to finish at 4 o'clock today, because that's my core hours. I don't want to do any overtime today. There's no need for it. I'm just going to enjoy the sun. I'm going to chuck a lead on the dog, and I'm going to go for a 3-mile walk with him, just to top my day off, because I've been sat at the desk for most of the day. But what I did do, on top of knowing I was going to do that, I incorporated doing 20 squats and 10 incline presses every hour. So I set my little alarm on my watch, which is a drink alarm, and I used it as a double sort of entendre. And I made it so that I could drink. So I had a drink of water, and at the same time I did 20 squats and 10 incline presses. And I sent this to my mates, actually, to just spur them on and say, oh, I've done this today. And my mate came back to me straight away, the one that was feeling a little bit down today. I know why he's feeling down. I know why he is, because he had a bit of he's big on the fitness train. He's had a good weekend Chinese takeaway, and he probably feels a little bit of guilt from that, but he shouldn't do. I explained to him this morning, you live once, mate, and you've done a month of hardcore training, and now you're just you've just enjoyed your weekend. Just reset on the Monday. This is what I said, you can reset anytime you want. Just stop, reset, and go again, you know. But yeah, it's kind of really important to kind of look after yourself, and it's kind of really important to make sure that, you know, one of the things I'd like to say I've noticed that I do is I've incorporated these squats, I've incorporated you know, this extra bit of walking in the evening, so I put my music in, I just zone out and I just go for a nice walk. And I've done this because I feel better about myself, so I'm engaging with the right people. The people that are coming back to me are positive. I'm going to them with positivity. I'm doing great things at the weekend, and it's just really important to do that. And I think because men don't talk, you miss these things, and before you know it, it's too late. I mean, like I said, I already know of three people on my own home estate, men-wise, 35 plus, I think 35 to about 48 is the eldest, I think, that have committed suicide. So it's really important. They mustn't have had no one to talk to that understood them and genuinely understood mental health. And I think that not enough people look. I mean, would I have looked if I didn't have mental health problems? Would I have just gone through and just plodded on? I probably would have done, if I'm brutally honest. I probably would have done. But because I've been in that horrible place, and I mean fucking terrifying place, I don't want anyone to ever feel that. That's around me. So even to the point where I even build in my SharePoint this morning, I've incorporated a whole mental health section with different links to the Gov website, the NHS website, the wellbeing website, just because I want people to just feel that it's a one-stop shop on my SharePoint. Come on, find out about the job. But at the same time, you might spur with somebody. You might turn around and go, oh Christ, I never thought about that. I'm actually feeling a bit low. Let me have a look, see what they can do. And it's just one of those, it's a click. It's a click tab, but it might help somebody that doesn't have the ability to talk to somebody. And my podcast is really important to me. I get to talk to you. It's a one-way conversation for me, so it is, but I enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like talking about my experiences and trying to understand that, you know, men do go through horrible things, and, you know, it can be a very lonely place. I can hand on heart say it's been a very lonely place. And I still think there's a stigma, enough of a stigma behind it to stop people talking. But I think there's a lot of people trying to break that barrier now and understand that we can still be the tough man and provide and all that. We can still do those things, but we just need a little bit of care along the way. And ultimately, that does start with yourself. And I think there's not enough men out there that want to look after themselves. Maybe because they don't want to admit that they've got a problem. But statistically, most men I look at or hear about or read about, they've all, it's got to the point where it's almost non-returnable before they feel that they need to do something about it. You know, and I think that's a really sad thing to do when we can capture it quite early. And you know, this is about looking at your job, looking at your relationship, looking at your friendships, looking at your social media groups, just looking at all of these things and going, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you. And I don't mean you in the thing, in the whole case, but you need to look around and go, actually, he's always negative and does piss me off a little bit. Well, okay, I'm not going to happy with that. I'm not doing that. Do you know what I mean? I know that's quite harsh, but you have to look after yourself. The core to your recovery will be you looking after yourself. If you don't look after yourself and be brutally honest with yourself and be brutal with your network, which is going to cause problems. I know it is. It has done for me, but it shouldn't cause problems because people should just respect your decision. You don't have to be forced to like somebody. You don't have to force to involve somebody. Some people just don't get on. But ultimately, the core to any recovery is yourself. You need to want to do it. You need to acknowledge that there's a problem. I even know of men that I've been friends with that know they've got a problem, and they talk about, yes, I need to at some point go and get therapy, or I need to do this, and then they never do. And you go, well, you know, you're a fool to yourself because you're not a nice person to be around, because I wasn't a nice person to be around. I was horrible. I genuinely was horrible. Some people saw the nice side of me. I would say most people saw the horrible side of me as well. That is a really sad thing to say, but it's what men do, you know. But it's really important to acknowledge it, and it's really important to look after yourself. And once you look after yourself and you acknowledge where your problems are, and you've looked at all these different categories, and you've looked at your own life inwardly, because that's what we've got to do. You've got to stand on the outside and look in and go, okay, well, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay, that's not okay, okay, well, that's an easy fix, that's not okay, going to be a bit difficult long term, maybe. My diet's not great, okay, that's not an easy fix, but it's just an educational piece. You know, you might go, I'm a little bit overweight, so I don't feel very confident, okay, I'm going to start walking. You don't have to start running fucking marathons because you want to lose weight. You don't have to do that. If you do it slow and steady and make it a lifestyle change, you'll get more benefit out of it, because you'll acknowledge you'll still have a good time along the way, and you're going to change yourself. So it becomes routine of life. I keep talking about this routine thing. We are creatures of habit. We all have our own little routines. It's only when you don't put a routine to something that we stress, and then that stress just grows. And so many times, you know, it makes things difficult. But one of the things I have noticed that when I talk about mental health, and I still talk about it now, and it was in my last job actually, and I remember speaking to my boss about it, and I said, oh, just want to let you know that, because I'm quite open and honest, I said, just let you know, mate, that I do suffer from PTSD, depression and anxiety. So, and I explained my symptoms, and I explained I do get a bit emotional about things. And in actual fact, it got to the point where this certain individual used that against me. There was a certain act, a certain correspondence I set out at Christmas time, and he basically made me feel utter crap about doing it, and it was a nice message. And when I addressed the situation and said, I don't like how you're talking to me, I don't like how you're making me feel, he said, I don't think that this is me, I think this is you, this is all you. So he reinforced the negativity that I was feeling with making it feel like it was my own fault. And I was like, it's not, mate. It's literally you. And then I had to talk to other people about the scenario and say, what would you have done in this situation? And they go, well, you were completely in the right, completely in the wrong. And I didn't get that from one person. I got that from about 8 to 10 people, I think it was in the end, and different age groups and different genders. So it wasn't just one person. It was his word against me and 8 to 10 other people, basically. But I didn't tell him that. But I had to do that. I had to get that gratification. Not gratification. I had to get that, here's a word I'm looking for, a confirmation. I had to get a confirmation that it wasn't me. But when I spoke to him about it, and I remember saying to him about my things, he said, I don't really understand mental health. And it was ironic because he had mental health problems in his own family that he acknowledged, and he didn't want to pursue that and how to deal with it. He didn't really kind of go, it is what it is. And that happened to me about three or four times in work when I spoke to the different people. They were like, no, I don't really understand, it's all fluffy, I think everyone just wants to be mollycoddled nowadays. It's not, mate. It's we've got emotions, and you know, we want to let them out, hence the reason why you're a, you know, hard nut to crack, because you have literally given yourself this massive outer shell, and now you become obnoxious with it. So maybe you've got something you need to deal with. But one of the hardest things, and this happened recently when I spoke about it with him, this person, and he said, well, I just think maybe, you know, you just need to man up. And I revert back to that comment because, and I'll finish on that comment, because for me personally, manning up is not the thing you say to somebody. If you've ever said to somebody, man up, or get a grip, or just smile, or I don't know what your problem is, you've got everything great. What do you mean? Do you know what I mean? Oh, you've got everything. What have you got to be sad about? You know what I mean? If you're saying this, then number one, you're not very well educated in mental health. And I've spoke about this, and I've spoke about how from the outside it can look amazing because you're performing, you're going to work, but they don't realise when you're in work, your body's screaming with anger, it's screaming with exhaustion, your brain is firing on. I mean, I remember I was at one point I was drinking 2 tablespoons in hot water with a little bit of cold water added once it had dissolved, and drinking sugar water because I had no energy, and I was doing that 3 or 4 times a day because I had no energy. But everyone would go out to tea bar and I wouldn't eat, and they'd be like, are you having something? I'd be like, no, I'm not having anything, mate. And turn around and go, yeah, it's just, I'm fine, you know what I mean? I'm fine. And that's what you say, I'm fine. And then they'd go away and I'd be literally chugging down sugar water because, you know, I wanted to get that release of energy. I needed something. I was eating bags of Skittles, constantly eating. People say, well, do you want something? Yes, I want some Skittles because I want those E numbers in me. And so many times people used to say to me, man up. Oh, just man up, mate. I'll get a grip. You'll be fine, mate. What are you walking around with that face on? Just smile. And you'd just be like, yeah, I've just fucking smile, mate. Don't realise I've just had massively suicidal fucking thoughts. I can't stand it here. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted, but when I go home, I can't sleep because my mind is overworked. And it's just a vicious cycle. And the only time I do eventually sleep is when I'm physically exhausted that my body shuts down. And the amount of times that would happen on at 2 o'clock. I mean, I used to go down and I used to shut myself in the bathroom, lock the door, lie on the floor and have a sleep. Because I was so exhausted, and people would be asking where I was, and I would always tell one of my colleagues, if anyone looks for me, mate, I need to go to sleep. I've just gone out. Tell them to take a message, and people would, I'd be lost because they'd be like, you know, where's he gone? But that's where it got to. It got to the physical exhaustion. So, if you ever say to yourself, or you've ever said to yourself, "Man up," to somebody, or any of those lines, then I think you need to look at yourself inwardly and go, is that the right thing? I'm not saying go up and, you know, get him to cry or anything like that. I'm just saying, you know, get him to open up, get him to talk about his feelings, get him to talk about what's problem, what's making him feel this way, why is he exhausted? And you'll soon become, you know, more educated yourself, but actually a better friend. And it's really important to be a better friend, because, you know, we get a short time in this world. And it's one of those really important things that we need to look after and care for ourselves. Look after yourself, and that will incorporate all those little changes and making your life better, really. So I won't bore on too much, but thank you for listening. And yeah, I really hope you have a fantastic Monday evening, and I hope you're sort of proud of getting through the day and enjoying this day. I hope the inspirational quote helped this morning as well. So I really enjoy doing those, because it really does. If anything, it gives me food for thought and it makes me think. And I enjoy reading the stories, actually. So it's really good. So thank you very much for listening. And I really look forward to talking to you again soon. So take care and sleep tight.